Welcome to the Square Eyes Podcast, Episode 1.
This week, Peter and I went to see Alejandro G. Iñárritu's film Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Sorry if I butchered his name there. We talk about what we liked about the film, from the performances and to the unique way that the film was shot. Just to let you know, as will be usual on this podcast, we'll go into plenty of detail on the film. So if you want to see the film first, we'll wait right here.
Seen it? Good. Thanks for downloading Square Eyes Podcast, Episode 1, Birdman.
So what are we talking about
this today, time? Michael Quilliam? The Birdman. We saw The Birdman the other day.
We saw it on Thursday.
And that was a terrific movie.
It was a lot. I don't know what I was expecting going in, to be honest.
But I'd heard a lot. It's like properly character driven and individual performances are brilliant.
Yeah.
That didn't let me down at all.
No, I loved Michael Keaton in it. He was incredible. And Edward Norton was hilarious.
Without a doubt, yeah. The guy just before we went in as well told us it was the best film he'd ever seen.
Best film we'd ever seen,
That's a very, it's an exaggerating hipster term.
We don't know what else he's seen. He might have just spent his life watching the Transformers films on repeat. And then watched Birdman.
And then just had a revelation. I'm going to watch an actual film. He could have done that, yeah. But I think we'll talk about all the individual films is a bit, but the main talking point, I think the real star of the movie is the way it was shot.
Yeah.
I think it was incredible.
So it's shot as if it's all one continuous take. There's no cutaways. It's like one single camera. And it just follows all the actors around.
Yeah. And it takes place over days.
I don't know. Yes, it's definitely days, isn't it?
Yeah. It's definitely a few days.
They do three previews and then open a night. Or is it the third preview?
I think that's the last preview, actually, they do.
Okay, so yeah, it's just three previews then. So it's at least three nights. 3 days.
And then there's the first rehearsal day where it all starts.
It's for rehearsal day, three previews, and then the day after where he's in hospital.
Yeah, it could have been.
By the way, if you haven't seen this film, sorry, we just ruined it all.
Yeah, don't listen to a podcast unless you want the story
about the film.
But that could have been weeks because he had a nose job in the intro.
He did. His nose job, which looked a little bit like his Birdman costume.
Yeah, it looked like a beak.
The
way it was shot was just unique and it was incredible.
Yeah, it was great. I'm surprised. I don't know. I don't think that was nominated for best edit Oscar. I'll get them up and we can go through them actually later if you want to.
Definitely.
It was definitely nominated for best picture, best actor and supporting actor, and I think best actress, but I don't know who for.
Emma Stone got as best supporting actress.
Was she? I mean, she was okay in it.
She had that one scene where she was just.
Well, yeah, when she
badass.
Berated her dad about what he's like after everyone to love him. He wants everyone to love him, basically.
And up until that scene, I was thinking that she didn't really have much to do.
No.
And then she just comes out of nowhere and she blows it out of the park,
yeah? Yeah, it was good, the
intensity.
Yeah, and the fact that it stayed on it afterwards and you just see the realisation of what she's just done to her dad, everything that she's just said, obviously in a rant. She obviously meant to get it all out, but she didn't mean to hurt him, which obviously she did.
Yeah, and you can't see his facial expression, which was it.
No, yeah, a lot of the time when you see conversations between people, it's in one person's face, or it's sort of like close to one person, because there's a bit where Edward Norton's talking to, is it Naomi
Watts,
and it's sort of like right up to his face, so you see the corner of his face, but it's more about hair in that scene, and he has that hilarious, hilarious line where he just says, look at me, play with my balls.
He was hilarious.
He was great. He was a little bit insane as well.
He
seemed insane in parts, but then when he was having conversations with Emma Stone, he always seems more like calm and down to earth at those points.
He did much. Apparently he's playing like a version of himself.
An exaggerated version of himself.
Infamous in his difficult to work withness.
Yeah. Well, from my point of view, I'll always know that sort of stuff from the Hulk film that he did.
Yeah.
Because he was notorious on that. It was rumoured that the reason he wasn't asked back was how overbearing and controlling he got with the script. Like, he did a lot of rewrites himself, and he sort of took credit for a lot of things in it, and he was difficult to work with, apparently. I mean, he was fine in that film, but obviously you don't know what happened behind the scenes a lot.
Exactly.
Apparently. Yeah. I don't. Well, they'll never say he was a bastard to work with, so that's why we've recast him. But I'm happy they did, because I love Mark Ruffalo.
Some directors have said things like that before. Which
I suppose so, yeah, but, I mean, studios will never say it. Like, Marvel Studios have just said, we're going in a different direction or something like that.
see what they say about Edgar Wright. But
oh man,
but I think he was playing a great character.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
And it must have been so hard to film because they had a lot of
really long takes
and a lot of rants, really, a lot of really intense,
really
stuff.
Long takes as well. Yeah.
And like each take must have been like 30 minutes long. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when they're like following them down a corridor when they're talking or they're having long conversations with each other.
If someone fucks up after 29 minutes, you gotta do the whole bloody thing from scratch.
Well, I've never seen the Hitchcock film Rope, but apparently that's like a long take film. That. Apparently that's like one of his most famous ones is that, and it's like a long single take. But I've never seen that one.
There's a horror film was out, I think, about 2 years ago called Silent House.
Was that with Elizabeth Olsen? Yeah, I heard about that. That was again.
It was shot as if it was shot in real time.
So
like she's in the house for an hour and a half, just as you're watching it for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It was actually done in four segments, but it just cut and edited very carefully, and it just had a great effect. You know, it really put you in the situation, and I think it was the same for Birdman. It was so well edited, so well pieced together.
Yeah.
The costume changes and stuff. How they did it. Guys walking around with no clothes on.
Yeah, with the changing scene at the beginning.
Camera looks away for half a minute and he's in a full suit.
And I like the bit where it sort of transitioned between to the next day. And
like
it was like, there's the one bit where he passes out drunk on the stairwell.
Yeah.
It like arcs up. Looks at the building, looks at the sky, and then you see it sort of fast, or what's it called? Just fast tracks into the daytime, comes back down, and you see him waking up.
I thought it was exceptionally well done.
Yeah, I did like that a lot.
I really like the flying scene.
Yeah, that was there.
He's convinced himself that he's got his Birdman powers.
Yeah, you don't know how much of that is real.
Yeah, if he throughout was standing on the ledge.
Yeah, he's sort of. I don't know where it comes in, but he sort of seems to have telekinesis abilities. Because there's parts where he's like, he closes doors and moves things around, and then when he loses his temper, he smashes stuff around the place, seemingly with his mind. And then at one point in the film, he gets on the rooftop of the building. Well, it's like, it looks like he's on the street, and it looks like it looks like he's just rising up. And then, everyone's looking up like, oh my god. But then it's because he stood on the end of the building, so you don't know how much of that is, whether he just walked up the stairs of the building, got on the roof, and then he like sort of gets pulled down by the guy and then runs and just jumps off and then he flies around the city, which is great.
And then the cab driver chases
him. Yeah, because you think, is this actually happening in the film? Guys? And then he lands on the floor, walks into the theatre, and then the cab actually gets up, says, hey, you haven't paid. Yeah, that was great. But then they leave it a bit open at the end.
The ending was, I thought it was terrific, because you don't know if you're still in his mind or.
Yeah, because she is, he gets out to the window. Emma Stone, his daughter.
Jumps out the window. We assume he jumps out.
Oh, yeah, his daughter looks up and then she sort of smiles, and then you hear people, I think, in the street. It's sort of implied. Well, she looks down, doesn't see him, I guess, but then she looks up.
Yeah. So it's whether if that's in his conscious, subconscious, whatever.
Yeah, because from his point of view.
Yeah, he got critical acclaim.
Because that's what he was after, basically, wasn't it? That's validation. He was after validation as an actor.
Very as an artist, as a person, really. That speech he gave to the editor towards the end when she's threatening to...
The critic?
Yeah, that's what
In the bar, where he's talking about how much he gave everything for this film.
Intense speech. Yeah. And it really highlights that, like, actors and stuff, they are people as well.
Yeah.
And they do have some of them. Except for Keanu Reeves, because he's a plank of wood.
He's not a plank of wood.
He's a plank of wood.
He's immortal. He's an immortal. an immortal plank of wood.
He's lived for thousands of years, right?
I like Keanu Reeves in certain films. He's terrible in some. And, I mean, I can't imagine anyone else playing Neo in The Matrix.
Yeah. Just because he's in a good film. It's the Kevin Costner effect. Just because he's in a good film doesn't mean he's good.
I don't understand how he keeps getting work.
I really don't. Because Kevin Costner's not a good actor.
He's not great.
But he's in these great high-profile films, and then everyone assumes he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe he's just because he's all everyday average American sort of.
Orlando Bloom's the one.
Orlando Bloom. But I think everyone knows. Very pretty girl though.
He's pretty the mock elf.
Yes.
And as a model, he's perfect.
He makes a very pretty elf.
He was a good elf, to be fair. But then put him next to Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, and he gets acted off the
well,
stage.
Well, and they're putting him back in again, apparently. Mm. He's rumoured that he's going to be in the 4th, 5th film.
As David Jones.
Well, not David Jones, but in that role, basically.
Yeah. There's not an awful lot he can do in that situation.
There's not an awful lot he can do in his career, as far as I can see.
He's already married Miranda Kerr and then lost that, so... But then he took a swing at Justin Bieber, so that kind of redeems all of his, you know, inadequacies as an actor are just wasted away.
What was the film he was in where he was unboxing it? Something about milk.
The Calcium Kid.
Calcium Kid. I didn't see that.
I didn't see that either. I don't think it was very good. But, you know, all that training paid off. We took a swing at Justin Bieber.
Yeah, apparently. Or the rum. Could have been the rum.
Why is the rum going?
We were talking about Birdman and went off on one again.
It's Keanu Reeves' fault.
It's been him.
Mostly Keanu Reeves' fault. Birdman, yeah. It's just his psyche. I think that's what most of the film is really about and alluding to. And I just thought it was so well done, so tastefully done as well.
Yeah. It stood out as a film as well because it's a lot different from anything else I've ever watched, really. Because of the way it was shot.
Mm.
And I did like the... I can't say score.
The music in
it's
it.
A bit of, there's a bit of a score, I suppose. There's orchestra music in it, but it's mostly just drums. Well, just drum, I guess. One drum set. Guy in a drum set.
That guy just appears in a couple of scenes randomly in the background. Isn't
it? Yeah, he's on the street when him and Edward
cleverly done.
Are walking out. And he's in the kitchen at one point.
So cleverly done.
Yeah.
And I love the Broadway setting of it. I thought it was very apt.
Yeah.
The
whole film is basically just around the Broadway stage, the backstage, and that the street between there and the bar they go to once or twice.
Yeah.
I think that's basically it. Or there's the hospital room at the end.
It doesn't really count.
No.
Doesn't count at all. I don't know how he couldn't kill himself. That sounds awful. But towards the end of the film, after his last preview performance,
mm-hmm.
he's got a real gun.
He's
supposed to pretend to shoot himself, and he actually shoots himself in the face. Somehow, he misses and just blows his nose off.
Well, see, I don't know whether it was a...
Was he trying to kill himself?
I don't know whether it's a... He sort of convinced himself that he couldn't kill himself. Because, by the way, we've not actually mentioned the fact that throughout the entire film, he has this deep, gravelly voice in the back of his head.
Yeah, he has a Batman voice.
or a Birdman voice.
His conscience over his shoulder.
Yeah, which isn't personified until right near the end.
Yeah. You actually see the Birdman.
You see the Birdman.
and he does his call.
It's an incredible call.
Beautiful.
It's great. And I don't know how much of the film was ever supposed to allude to the fact that Michael Keaton did star in a comic book movie in the early 90s.
He was a big star,
89.
Two of them.
Two Batman films.
And they was huge. And he was a good Batman.
He was a great Batman.
He was really good. And coincidentally, he mentioned in the film that it was 1992. The last Birdman film came out. That was also his last
Batman
film.
Was Batman Returns then? I wasn't sure whether it was 92 or 91. Because Batman was 89
was it?
It might come out here in 94. I think it was 89. Oh, I can't remember.
Batman Returns definitely 1992.
Okay.
So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's, again, characters playing...
They did say the fourth one, though, for him. He turned down the fourth. But yeah, I don't know how much... I mean, I suppose he did... I don't know when the Beetlejuice film came in. Was it after? Or that was before then as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know really what he did after Batman.
He was off the... He wasn't in a lot of big films for a long time, really.
Yeah.
Was he?
No. I mean...
I can't remember a lot of things he's in.
I can't remember anything big other than those three films, the two Batman films and Beetlejuice.
He made a hilarious return in...
The Other Guys.
The Other Guys, where he played a great, great police captain slash...
manager
Bed Bath & Beyond or something like
that. A manager at Bed Bath & Beyond. That was hilarious. I did like that.
The wooden gun. Maybe.
The wooden gun?
Because
he's a training gun, because he's not allowed a real gun, yeah.
So I think him and Edward Norton playing kind of dramatic versions of themselves, and I really like that. And I think they were, the individual performances all through, horrific.
Yeah, it was very, very well acted.
Ed Norton
was great in it.
Every single time he was on the screen, I think he stole the...
Yeah, because he had a huge range of different character moments as well. There's obviously the bit where his face goes in for the rehearsal.
Yeah, great.
It's great. He's just trying to get out the perfect scene by cutting everything down and making it as human as possible, in inverted commas, which you can't really see. Oh, I'll describe that. And then...
quote, unquote.
Yeah, and then he has the, like I said, the bit with Emma Stone on the roof, where he just seems to be talking normally. He starts off trying to play it all cool, saying... Emma Stone says she likes how he doesn't really care about what anyone thinks about him. It's like, is that what you tried? Yeah, it's whatever. I don't know, man. tries to play it off, but then he sort of like talks real to her. He has a proper conversation. He seems like an actual person rather than just an actor pretending. And he tells the truth to her basically, because they play a truth or dare game, and he just tells truth.
He was pretty honest throughout the whole thing, really. Brutally so, in some cases.
Yeah, he was. He was brutal.
I thought he was a great character. Not a character I'd like to hang out with in any way.
No.
Well, he was a really great guy. He's such a talented actor as well.
He is, yeah.
And, I think he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, he did. Best Supporting Actor. I haven't seen all of the other films. I think, going off what I've heard, J.K. Simmons might get Best Supporting for his role in Whiplash.
Whiplash looks intense.
It looks very intense.
Is that out in America?
It's out. I don't know whether it's
out here in about 2 weeks, I think.
I don't know whether it's out on the 19th. Or is that something else? Oh, no, that's something else. I think Boyhood is out on DVD on the 19th. You have to watch that.
Yeah, I want to watch Boyhood.
Yeah, me too.
Which is Link later.
Yeah. That's it. I was looking on Netflix to see if it was there. His first film. What his first film's called? Slacker. His first film, Slacker, is on Netflix.
Whatever.
Well, I've heard of it a lot because I listen to Kevin Smith podcasts, and he talks about how he watched Slacker in the cinema and it inspired him to make Clerks, basically.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And then, yeah, Link Plays.
That's been good for cinema. I love Kevin Smith.
Yeah, me too.
We could totally do a Kevin Smith special.
We could do.
A Viewers' Universe.
Viewers' Universe, yeah. I've got.
And send it to him.
Well, I'm sure he'd appreciate that someone was inspired to do a podcast because of him.
That's same kind of theory. He always talks about it.
He always talks about that. Just say anyone can do it. Which is what we're trying.
Please listen to this podcast.
Yeah, listen 10 minutes into this conversation to hear that message. I can't believe you got 10 minutes in and then changed your mind.
Why are you still listening? Stop it, you weirdos. So, we're talking about Batman. And
still Birdman.
Yeah, I think individually they're all worthy of Oscar nominations. I thought they were all fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, if the director, or I don't know if editing or cinematography, if they got the nod there, but they should definitely win some serious awards, because it's such a unique film, and with Hollywood it's so hard to find that kind of uniqueness.
Yeah, they don't always award unique.
Plus, it was an original story.
Yeah. Was it original, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's nominated for Best Original anything. I'll have to get them up. I'll have to get them up on my computer. See them.
I'm not saying the story was terrific, but the fact that it's the original story, not...
Well, it's a
sequel, remake,
not,
and
there's
adaptation.
There's not really much of a plot, to be honest.
Well, that's character-driven.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that it wasn't based on a book gives it huge... Gives me more,
Yeah, it's more interesting. And, more importantly, it wasn't a sequel.
Yes! Or a remake. Yeah. Or a reboot. Oh, God.
Which I suppose it's an irony that it's not a sequel, but it's the reference to the fact that it's the reason he's doing it was because he didn't want to do a sequel. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and they're making a very famous book, which I've never heard of, into a stage play. So an adaptation. There you go.
Yeah, the play itself didn't seem innocent particularly special. The play was supposed to be character driven as well, I suppose.
It got a standing ovation when he shot himself in the face.
It did, apart from the critic who sort of ran off and then gave a great review.
Yeah, she changed her mind.
Yeah, she was ready to destroy him. I got the impression she wasn't even going to turn up, she was just going to destroy it. I don't know whether his speech to her about how pointless critics can be and all the way she was criticizing films were just giving everything labels. It was lazy.
Because if she releases a review, scathing review,
she wasn't even there.
And then he just says, actually, she wasn't even bloody there.
Yeah,
her career's down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she played a good character, actually. She was only in it for a tiny, tiny bit.
Yeah.
She was full of venom.
Yeah, she was. She hated everything about the fact that a Hollywood actor was trying to do a Broadway play.
Hated it, yeah. Hated him for that.
Well, she hated him. She hated everything he stood for being from Hollywood. And she hated the fact that he'd taken up valuable space on Broadway to do this. What she called a vanity project, I think she called it.
And that led to his great burst of humanity, really.
Yeah.
Beautiful little speech, liloquy thing.
Shouts
at Dan. Glasses. A lot of glasses got smashed in that film.
Well, a lot of stuff got smashed in the film.
Edward Norton was particularly smashed a lot of stuff. But mostly his kinetic. Michael Keaton's kinetic powers.
Yeah, destroying stuff. Just pointing at things.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, how did they film that?
I don't know. And the fact that the film starts off, actually, with him sitting cross-legged in the middle of his room, hovering.
Yeah, like, levitating.
A foot off the floor, or 2 foot off the floor.
It really sets the tone, doesn't it?
Yeah. This film has a bit... Considering how much human elements and character-driven scenes there are, there's this like underlying supernatural element to it, which isn't really part of the film at all. It's just there.
It just shows his state of mind, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because he's definitely not quite right in the head, because he argues with that voice in the back of his head, which I guess is the Birdman voice.
And he thinks he can fly.
Yeah, he thinks he can fly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, the voice was, I don't suppose it wasn't good for him, but it was like an ego sort of thing.
It was a devil on his shoulder.
It was telling him that he's better than everyone here, and he's better than this, what he's doing. He should have done another Birdman sequel, because it's a shit. The opening line from that voice is good, though, isn't it? This place smells like balls.
You know who was superb, which we haven't mentioned yet? Mostly because I can't pronounce his name. Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
Say that again.
Zach Galifianakis.
Say it 3 times, really fast.
Zach Galifianakis, Zach Galifianakis, Zach Galifianakis. I've changed it through that as well. It's not Galifianakis, it's Galifianakis.
Yeah, the fat guy from The Hangover.
Oh, I don't call him that, he's a good comedian.
He's a great comedian, he was amazing.
He was
such a good actor, man.
He was a good role as well. He's his stage manager, I guess.
Best friend, agent,
yeah.
Lawyer, I think he said he was as well.
I don't know whether he's his lawyer. But...
legal help, anyway.
Yeah.
And his agent, and he played a terrific role. He was the kind of Hollywood heart of it, really, wasn't he?
I suppose.
Like, even when he shot himself in the face.
Yeah, he was like, he's trying to get the good element from it.
Yeah.
It's the best thing you ever did.
Yeah.
Trying to kill yourself on stage, because now everyone's talking about the play.
I think maybe he was representing the Hollywood side of it.
Yeah.
He was more concerned with the marketing and the publication side
of it.
And like when they got Edward Norton's character
to
appear in the play, he didn't care that they'd got a great actor.
Yeah,
you cared about the numbers and the tickets, the ticket sales.
Yeah,
so I think that's what he was kind of representing. Yeah. But he played it so well, and it was again a really human performance from him.
Yeah, it was good. And the reason Edward Norton character turns up basically is because the other lead actor that was in the role that he ended up replacing,
a terrible actor.
Yeah, he was terrible, and Michael Keaton couldn't stand him. And then just randomly during rehearsals, the stage light falls and drops on his head and almost kills him.
Knocks him the fuck out.
It does.
It's not him later in the wheelchair.
Yeah, that's because he's there trying to... He wants to sue, basically, for being fired from the play. I think it's that. But yeah.
I did read something about the Birdman as well. I read an interview that because of the long takes, they kept tallies of who... messed up the most and who made them restart again, and apparently Emma Stone by far
just
fluffed the lines or did something wrong or missed a mark.
Alright, that must have been hard to get her big scene up then.
yeah man and apparently the person who did it least was Zach Galifianakis. That's the one.
Galifianakis.
he messed up fewer times than anybody else, which is again another good testament to his acting chops.
Well, you always find comedians can be great actors.
Robin Williams.
I mean, Jim Carrey has done good.
Jim Carrey, yeah. Truman Show. Fantastic.
I love the Truman Show.
The number 23, if you saw it, he was really.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's like a horror film, isn't it? Where he's obsessed with a number.
Psychological thriller, I think.
Yeah, Steve Carell. Really want to watch The Foxcatcher.
Yeah, I think is that going to be it next? Russ.
Yeah, I think it's out now. We can go this week if you want.
Yeah, I can't go this week. Next week, maybe.
Okay, cool. I think I'm planning on.
Well, the weekend, maybe. Probably the weekend. Anyway, that's.
Yeah, that's next week.
Arsenal plans have got nothing to do with you, fine people.
No.
So, Birdman, should we rate Birdman?
Oh, yeah, let's rate Birdman.
What were the three?
It was, how much were you looking forward to watching it?
Because of the buzz, I would give it a 5, actually. I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah. For me, it's probably a 4, because I really wanted to watch it, but I wasn't that sure whether I wanted to watch it in the cinema. I don't know whether it was a cinema film. Like, hearing what I heard about it being more character-driven, despite
the spectacle's not really there.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I go to the cinema, I don't know what I expect from a cinema film. I mean, there are films that I will watch in the cinema because I really want to watch them on the biggest screen possible. And then there are films that I'll want to watch, but I'm not that bothered about being on a big screen.
Yeah.
I don't know whether... I could probably watch that film on the small screen and I get the same effect from it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
Also, where we watched it as well, because you watched it in kind of like a small
screen cinema. Yeah.
With only about 20 other people in there, probably.
Yeah.
So that was different from watching it in...
A big cinema.
A big screen.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more intimate, I thought. Yeah. It's expensive, but a bit more intimate.
Yeah. I could actually read the Facebook status update from the guy sat in front of me.
Oh, that's
it funny. Was that
intimate. Who would do that?
I don't know. And he was the one that he was just laughing at all and clapping as well. I mean,
He clapped
in the cinema. Yes. Apparently I'm a cinema snob. Well, clapping in the cinema is a little bit annoying. It's a little bit annoying, I suppose. Hearing someone
clap. You do that in America. You clap.
At the end of a film, I always
not just the end of the film.
I mean,
I watched a few films when I was over in America, but forgetting Sarah Marshall, and then there's a scene with full frontal nudity from Mr. Peter
Jason Segel.
Plays character called Peter, and everyone just shock outburst, and then cheering, and then applauding. So you miss whatever's next in the scene.
It's weird.
And then at the end of the film, they get all the applause. That's just.
I always find that
not, this is not how you watch a film.
The only time in England where I've seen that happen is when I went to watch Les Miserables, and everyone started clapping, and I was like,
"I've heard that before."
Is the director here or something?
Someone else told me that.
Is he being personally thanked?
Seen at that film, someone clapped.
I don't know whether it's because of the type of film, the people that were going to watch it, or people that have seen this theatre stage show, and then they clapped as well. Got a bit confused, and clapped for it. But yeah, I don't see the point in clapping the cinema screen. Who are you thanking the projector? Projectionist? Good job. You got all those reels in there cleanly. I didn't notice any splits.
Just thanking Tyler Durden.
yeah,
terrific. Okay, so 4 for looking forward to it.
4 for me, yeah. And 5 for you. You were really looking forward to it.
I was really looking forward to it because of the buzz it got, yeah.
Yeah.
How much did
you enjoy the film itself?
I would give the film a good solid 5.
Good solid 5.
Loved the characters. The acting was incredible.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
just the mechanics of it, following the characters around the way it was, it mm-hmm. baffled me and it interested me and it kept me.
Yeah, I've no idea how long the film was, but I was never bored.
I think it was
watching
just 2 hours.
2 hours. Cool.
I think so.
Cool. And then the next one for me, I guess 5. Yeah, as well. 5. I did enjoy it a lot.
I really enjoyed it myself. And would I watch it again?
Well, yeah. Would I watch it again?
I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah.
There was even some bits in it where I kept thinking, I can't wait to watch this again.
Yeah.
just because you miss a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah, you do miss a bit of the dialogue. I don't know whether it's solely because of the audio in the cinema or just the drum bits go over the dialogue a bit. Sometimes it's just the background noise and you don't always hear it.
I don't think the speakers are great in that tiny cinema either.
No. And we weren't really sat. We were sat more closer towards one wall. And I think the other wall was a bit offset, so we weren't in like a good central position to get all the good surround sound.
Yeah. So I'd definitely watch it again.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't, you know, because it's not going to be a must-have-now list.
No, I'm definitely going to watch it again. I probably won't buy it like on DVD when it comes out, but if it's on Sky or Netflix, I'll watch it again. So watch it again, 5 again? 4.
I might give it a 3.
3 for watch it again? Because of how much you actually want to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely watch it again, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't rush out and buy the DVD.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, 3 makes sense.
So I'm gonna, yeah, I'm just gonna give that one a 3.
Yeah.
So that, for me, that's a 13, a 15.
That means 12.
So 12 and a half.
12 and a half, we're gonna give half. So yeah, 12 and a half.
12 and a half out of 15. It's a good shout, it's a good film.
Yeah.
It's actually less than The Hobbit, and I thought it was a better film than The Hobbit.
Yeah, I suppose, well, is the fandom behind The Hobbit as well.
That's true, that is very true.
Account for. And I suppose if you think about The Hobbit as well, buying the DVD, well, for one, I'm going to buy Blu-ray. Two, I'm not going to buy the first one that comes out, I'm going to buy the extended edition.
Exactly.
So really, I'm never going to watch that film again.
That's very true.
I'm only going to watch the extended edition, which is, well, for me is the, like, the proper version.
That's
of
the final. That's what the director wants you to see. That's what the fans, yeah, for the fans, that really.
Okay, I can't watch.
The amount of nerdy stuff they throw into those bits.
Yeah. There are times where I see the film on TV, the Lord of the Rings films, and I think, oh, I really want to watch this. But no, it's not the real film. I can't watch this. I should go watch the Blu-ray, but then I never do. I haven't watched them for a while, so I'm really looking forward to watching them again, actually.
So have you ever been on a channel called Viva?
Yeah.
They show Scrubs and they show...
Oh, God, I hate TV edits of Scrubs.
Yes, man, they cut...
They cut the punchline out of all of JD's little fantasies, basically. Yeah. It leads up and then it just goes back to him.
And then, so the next line doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's awful. They just cut out anything that references a penis. Or anything. Even the word penis, I think they cut out.
I don't know, but yeah.
They do it to loads of shows.
TV edits of most comedies, they just shouldn't show them during the day because it's pointless.
And I get in the States.
All the best jokes.
In the States, everyone can have a gun. That's okay, but you know they're not allowed to say fuck on TV. So films get edited to shit. So you know most films. Yeah. Try and watch Goodfellas.
Without swearing.
My God.
Well, there's the on the extra special features of Shaun of the Dead. There's
Funky Pete.
Yeah. Which is the whole film, not the whole film, but that
you
scene.
You funkin' idiot.
Where they replace all the swear words with funk. And prink. Prink instead of prick, I suppose, which is blanked out. Yeah.
It's techno. Prink.
And there's that rule that to have a 12 film, you're allowed one fuck.
Is that true?
Well, I first heard that in a film called Be Cool.
Yeah, no, the Get Shorty
John Travolta,
sequel.
Yeah, Get Shorty well, sequel.
See, okay, you know ratings are different over there. Because it's the R rating.
Oh, yeah, I think it goes PG-13 is there. PG. Well, we have 12A over here, yeah. I don't know what they have for below a PG-13. I don't know whether that's just
there. Might be you. I don't know.
But yeah, then they have...
Then they've got NC-17?
NC-17, which I guess is an 18. But then they have R, which is like above an NC-17.
Have you got to be 21 to watch an R?
I don't know.
Is it just depending on which state? Any Americans listen, can you help? I'm really confused.
I doubt.
We do have Google, but this is much more fun.
Yeah, we'll wait. Because I'm definitely not just going to Google this as soon as it's over. I'm going to wait until someone writes into all these email addresses.
I could phone an American.
I haven't actually ever told them. I have an email set up, but I haven't told it yet. I'll mention it in the intro, maybe.
Okay.
Because I can't remember it, basically, right now.
That's fair enough.
I think it's Square Eyes Podcast at Hotmail.
See, what we're doing is we're going to film an intro after we do the thing.
We're going to film it, yeah. We're going to record it. Video-wise, and then just not upload the video.
Oh.
Could do, I suppose, if you're really
I've greased up my legs and everything.
Yeah, please put some pants back on.
Oh. You never let me have anything.
Right,
so it's 12 and a half.
12 and a half.
What's next?
Next to watch, Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher.
I'm probably going to go watch Into the Woods.
All right, okay.
With Becky. Because...
It looks funny, to be honest.
I wasn't that into it, but I was going to go watch it with Becky. Because any chance to go to the cinema, I'll go to the cinema. But then I saw a trailer for it, and I thought, yeah, I wouldn't mind watching that.
Great cast.
And it got, again, Meryl Streep just can't do a performance without getting an award thrown at her. She got nominated for Best Supporting Actress, I think, or Best Lead Actress or something.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she's great. She's the most awarded actress. Really? She's got the most Oscars for an actress.
More than Kevin Eppin.
I don't know how many she had, but I'm sure...
Three or four, Streep's,
I think she's on, like, 5 or something insane like that.
She's too many.
Too many.
Too many.
Are all the performances. I know, I can think of 3. I think she got one for Kramer versus Kramer. I'm not sure.
Probably.
She got one for The Devil Wears Prada. Iron Lady, I think she got one for as well.
She got one for Iron Lady?
Well, she got nominated. Maybe I'm thinking she got the most nominations. That might be it. She got the most nominations.
Because Americans like that film.
Apparently. Americans like Margaret Thatcher for some reason.
No one in this country likes it, because no one in this country likes Margaret Thatcher.
No. That's weird.
Like a few desperate Tories. They'll cling into the old days. Where you could whip up poor people in the streets.
You keep one in your dungeon if you're allowed to, too.
Yeah, I can't even afford a dungeon. I have to sell my dungeon.
Just your dungeon?
Yeah.
If you have a lodger? Just a guy in a gimp suit lives downstairs.
He's not always in a gimp suit.
He should be.
That's what I keep telling him. And then with him.
If you watched anything
else. This conversation got weird.
It did, very fast. Watched anything else recently?
I watched a great film. It's a Woody Allen film.
Woody Allen
called
film.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yeah, oh, right. I heard about that recently.
I may have told you about it. Because...
Oh, I think you were talking about it with Jamie.
The best thing in the world happened.
I think I know, yeah. I think I know what you're going to say. I remember the conversation.
There is a kissing scene between Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz.
Right.
I have dreamt about that kind of scene, and I did not know it existed. Well, and then this happened on my TV, and it was a beautiful moment. It was a very good film apart from that.
Yeah. Apparently, you have the same...
that moment.
You obviously have the same fantasies as Woody Allen. So,
it's not a bad thing.
Well, it can
watch
be a
Annie
bad
Hall.
Thing. Yeah, just stay away from your stepdaughter. He married his stepdaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's married to his stepdaughter.
Oh, I feel worse now.
Yeah, I think I don't know whether it's Mia Farrow or his wife.
Polanski, isn't
it? I can't remember who it was.
Polanski was married to Mia Farrow.
Well, I'm sure...
Wow, okay, Woody Allen. What is it? There was a film I watched of his as well called Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Where he's like a 40-odd going out with a 17-year-old.
Right.
And that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's like really frowned upon. Especially in America. I mean, the consent is 18 in America.
Still, there's so many rich old people who have young playboy
young,
wives.
But not 17.
I suppose, not 17. Well, what was that, Oh, I've forgotten the name. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Courtney Stodden. She was like married off to some older guy and she was like 17.
Oh. See, it just makes me uncomfortable.
We'll stop talking like that. So you watched that?
Great film, yeah. Very good film. Set in Barcelona, obviously. Javier Bardem. Playing a sexy, seductive Spanish dude.
I watched Skyfall last night, where it's Javier Bardem.
He's good in that as well. He's actually a really good actor.
Is it? Actually, did you have any doubt about it?
Yeah. He's Spanish, so yeah.
he's a great actor.
Spain does good actors.
Does good actors.
I think she actually won Best Supporting Actress for that film. She was terrific.
Is she Spanish then?
She's Spanish. And she's just perfect.
Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Is he Spanish?
Yeah, I think he's Spanish.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm fairly sure he's Spanish.
Yeah.
I don't think of any other Spanish actors now. It's all gone. But yeah, well done that country. Well done. Anyone listening from Spain? Well done.
They do good footballers as well sometimes as well.
Yeah, it's not talking. Okay.
I've watched a big chunk of really decent films. Like, since we watched Birdman on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I watched...
It's only Sunday. How much have you watched?
Quite a few films. I think I came home from watching that. No, that was this weekend. I watched Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, terrific film.
I watched Election.
Great film.
Yeah.
What's with
Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick, yeah. I watched... You hate Matthew Broderick?
I do hate Matthew Broderick.
Why do you hate Matthew Broderick? Is it because he once killed someone in a car?
It could be that he once killed someone. But even... It was alright. In fact, he was really good as Ferris Bueller.
Since then,
he just annoys me. Every time he's on screen, his voice annoys me, his face annoys me. He just looks like a thumb. He's
thumb with hair.
I don't like him.
Okay.
At all. But Ferris Bueller's very good. Although it would have been so much better if Marty McFly would have been.
What, Michael J.
Michael
Fox?
Michael J. Fox would have been so much better as Ferris Bueller.
I suppose. It would have been a different film. Well, I like the film. I don't want to touch the
film
at all. I don't want to touch the film at all.
It's just my hatred of Matthew Broderick going back through time.
I can't speculate. Well, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but in his day off, he has a time machine. That's what film you want.
Then he could have every day off.
He could have every day off. Yeah, just turn up for lessons one day. Why are you 50?
Had a rough day.
It's that disease that he claimed to have.
That's what happened in Jack. Have you ever saw the film Jack?
Oh, he aged it fast. Yeah. It's like the reverse Benjamin Button disease.
Yeah.
Suppose reverse Benjamin Button disease is aging normal. It's sped up
We've all got that. We've all got revenge Benjamin Button movies.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing. Please donate.
My bank account details are.
I can't. This is another film that I watched before I watched Election. I can't remember what it was now. I mentioned it recently on Facebook and I've forgotten what it was.
40 minutes in, yeah.
Well, we can wrap it up in a minute if you want.
Edit out big chunks. Small chunks.
40 minutes is alright.
Yeah, man.
I mean, all the podcasts I listen to are like an hour long, so.
You still listen?
I don't care.
You still listen?
Yeah, respond somehow. This time machine. Go speak to Matthew Broderick. He's got a time machine now.
Just use your time machine and then just leave us a note. And, yeah, cheers.
Anyway, I watched Lock as well.
Is that good, Tom Hardy?
It's really good, yeah.
Tom Hardy's an intense dude.
Yeah, he's an intense Welshman in this film.
He's Welsh.
I actually questioned whether he was Welsh in real life.
He's from London, though.
Okay, but the film is entirely shot within one car journey down, like, the M6 from somewhere, I'll say Wales, to London, basically. And he just makes all these... M6. Well, he gets on the M6 at one point. I know there's not a motorway that goes from Wales to London. It's solely the M6, but at some point he's on the M6.
He's on the Tollbridge.
I didn't show the whole road. It's not a dashboard cam watching where he's gone. But the whole film was shot in the car, and it's...
Well, how does that work?
Oh, it's good. Like, considering it's just that, conversations that he has on the phone with other people can get really intense, because he made a big mistake. He did make a huge mistake, and he's driving down to London. And while he's doing that, he's got to just make all these phone calls to sort of wrap up his life, because he's pretty much leaving his old life behind to do this thing that he's going to London.
Oh, right, for. Okay. So the car journey is in...
It's real time.
Sorting out his life.
Yes, yeah. Sorting out his life and messing up his life. Well, he already messed up his life, but the phone calls sort of...
Being Welsh messed up his life.
Well, it wasn't his fault. It might have been a bit his fault. He should have known early on and sorted it out. But, yeah, good film.
Great.
So, Grand Budapest Hotel, Lock. I watched Dallas Buyers Club last night as well.
Have you not seen that film?
No, I hadn't seen that before.
That's another terrific... That won all the Oscars last year.
Amazing film, yeah.
For acting.
Right. Yeah. Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto.
Jared Leto was incredible.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
I would not like to be his body. I'd like to have it. But he's just... What he's done to
you mean Jared Leto?
Yeah, man. He's
oh, up and just, down and
yeah,
weight.
Yeah, the weight he's put on and gained. In the
like
last
a, he's like a lightweight Christian Bale.
Well, not necessarily lightweight.
Well, I suppose, but the Christian Bale weight that he got to in The Machinist is intense, and how big he got for Batman Begins.
Yeah.
But I suppose Jared Leto, I can't remember the name of the film it was where he just got...
Chapter 25? A film that no one's seen as well. That's the upsetting thing. You put on 60 pounds of fat.
Jesus.
To look like the guy who shot John Lennon. And he did look like the guy who shot John Lennon.
Oh, right, yeah, that was the character.
Mark David Chapman. And no one saw the film. Mostly because it also stars Linda Lohan, and people don't watch her films. But you put on 60 pounds and then just lost 60 pounds. Yeah. That's a horrible thing to do to yourself.
I wouldn't know. I've just put it on. I've not lost it yet.
Well, let us know how it goes. And Christian Bale must have killed himself then, like twice.
Mm-hmm.
Robert
gives up and down a lot.
Robert De Niro, he's done that loads as well.
Has he lost weight a lot?
Put on weight, lost weight, got ripped as shit, then got fat as shit. Al Capone in The Untouchables.
Yeah,
he put on like 50 pounds.
Oh, he was big on that. Yeah.
Just for that, and he was only in like two scenes.
Just a shaving scene, is it? There was a meeting scene.
There was a meeting scene with the baseball bat.
Yeah,
there was a tiny bit where he appears on the stairs of the hotel he lives in, okay. And there was the courtroom scene. But he's hardly in it, and he puts on all that weight. Raging Bull, don't know if you've seen that Martin Scorsese film.
The boxer.
He's ripped his shit, and then goes really, really fat.
Does he? Alright, I've not seen that film.
Because it follows his whole career, so up until like,
okay,
he's retired and he owns a restaurant and stuff, and he's huge.
Mm-hmm.
These actors do things to themselves. You know, it proves that it's an art to them. It's not just a paycheck.
Takes it seriously. I'm still trying to remember that film, by the way. I'm half listening to what you said, and I'm trying to remember the film.
You can listen back and listen to what I said if you want. You don't need to pay attention.
Okay, I will be listening back, because I'll be editing this later.
Which film?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
Another film you watched?
I watched before Election. I watched one more film. It was a good film, but I can't remember what it was.
Do you know who's in it?
No, like I've watched so many films, I can't. They're all over the place. I watched Lock, Dallas Buyers Club, Grand Budapest Hotel, Election, and something else.
Frozen.
It wasn't Frozen.
It was on Netflix. I could just look. Ah, I'll leave it. Right, never mind. It's not important. It'll bother me. I'll find it out later. I may tell you.
Okay.
I may say in the intro just in case anyone else gets annoyed at it. Or I'll just leave a shouting version of it at the end. I'll just scream it when I think of it. I can't remember. Right, we'll wrap this up now. Okay. We've been talking for a while.
Good stuff.
We intended to talk about Oscar nominations and that, but we can leave that for next time.
We'll do an Oscar special.
We're going to do it before the 22nd of February.
Yeah, we'll get our predictions down so we can say, I totally knew that. But there's a lot of films I need to watch.
Like, Boyhood is one of them. I want to watch Whiplash.
Whiplash, definitely.
Foxcatcher as well. I think after that, I may watch The Theory of Everything, but I'm not that sure.
It doesn't really interest
biopics, me. I mean, I watched The Imitation Game, and I don't know what drew me to that, to watch it, and I enjoyed it. But that's
it was also to do with the war, you know, something to do with British history.
I mean, yeah, it was...
Stephen Hawking's done amazing things, but he just, you know, it doesn't bother me.
Well, it's not about his career, it's mostly about his first marriage to his wife, apparently.
Oh, good. Well, apparently Eddie Redmayne, is that it?
Have a guess at how old he is, looking at him.
25?
33.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he was a lot younger than that.
He's a weird looking dude. It's like he's got extra cheekbones.
Yeah, he has old skin.
Old skin?
I know, when I look at him, I think his skin looks old.
I thought he was like really young. I thought he was that age.
I mean, he looks young, characteristics wise, but his skin looks old.
I'll take your word for that.
Okay.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
I want to talk to you. We'll talk and you can listen.
We'll talk at you.
Yeah. Still not thought of a sign off.
Stay classy, planet Earth.
You tried that last time.
Damn it, I'm trying to make it stick.
It's not going to stick.
In case we don't see you.
No, that's Truman Show. Can't say that either.
I'll be back.
Again, you're just quoting films.
It's a film podcast.
I suppose, mostly. We'll think of something better. We'll think of something, full stop.
I've been holding on a fart for like 10 minutes. I could...
No.
No, okay.
Please don't. You can leave my room and do it.
I don't want to.
Right, we'll stop it now then.
Bye.
Bye.